We originally only had two liaison reports scheduled, but because Judge Rubin made such a valiant effort to get here through the storm and the weather and was originally scheduled, we're going to accommodate him. He's promised to make it within his 5 minutes of allotted time, and he will provide a report on San Bernardino. Thank you.
If I could have someone load up the presentation.
While we're doing that, thank you, Chief, for the opportunity to make this presentation. For those of you who are listening online, my name is David Rubin. I'm a judge in San Diego County, and I'm giving this presentation in my capacity as a judicial counsel liaison to the San Bernardino Superior Court. I had the pleasure of visiting the San Bernardino Court twice. On May 1, 2014, I went to see the dedication of their new courthouse. Afterwards, I was given a tour of the new facility. Well, first, I want to make three main points. I've not rehearsed this, but it will be less than 5 minutes. We're going to talk about the county size and geography, budget reductions, and the under-resourced. Let's talk about the good news. So the new courthouse opened, as I said, on May 1, 2014. I found the building to be light and pleasant and efficient without being opulent or austere. On the other hand, I think people using the building will enjoy it very much, unless I guess they're taken into custody, which could take some of the luster off it. But in any event, it's a really nice piece of architecture and very functional. On July 14, 2014, I made a second visit to the court. This time I spent time meeting extensively with the court CEO, Christina Volkers, and the presiding judge, our own Marcia Slough. And during my site visit, I had the opportunity to have lunch with some of the judges, and they could talk to me about some of their specific concerns about what's happening with their court. After lunch, Judge Slough took me over the Cajon Pass to Victorville, about 45 minutes north of San Bernardino's downtown, to visit with judges there, and I've also talked to Judge Slough and Ms. Volkers at some length on the telephone. Here's what I found. Let's start with the new facility that opened on May 1st. First of all, it's 11 stories. This is the good news part. It's got 35 courtrooms. They only use 25 of them, and that's due to budget and staff shortages. They have two mediation rooms. They have consolidated all of civil, family, and many of the criminal cases into that building. Not all of them, but many of them into that building. The building provides staff and the public with a safe, secure working environment, and the court is pleased with this addition to their lineup. Now, other good news is they have a new case management system coming online. They are rolling out Tyler. They're going to have a comprehensive case management system. This is very important development for them and for access to justice in that county, especially given some of the historic challenges, which I'd now like to discuss with you. So let's start with the obvious, and that is San Bernardino's unique size and geography. One of the things that troubles the judges and, of course, the PJ there, Judge Slough, is how do you provide civil and criminal justice to a community that's so far flung. San Bernardino County is the largest county in the United States. At its widest, it's 210 miles. At its longest, it's 134 miles. It is over 20,000 square miles. It makes up 12% of California's geographic area. It is larger than Massachusetts and Vermont combined. So let's take a look at the state of California, and you'll see in the lower southeast, San Bernardino. If we were to move San Bernardino County to the Bay Area, you can see that it covers or touches, it has all or part of 23 different counties. If you understand what a challenge that is for the judges of San Bernardino, you can imagine for us, if this county were here, having citizens from Tahoe or Truckee come down to San Francisco to do business, or from Yosemite to San Francisco to do business. It is a huge challenge for this court. We missed a graphic in there. There's a line, another challenge for this court, of course, is there's the San Bernardino Mountains cut the county in two. You can traverse the mountains through a 3,000-foot pass, which frequently is either rained in or snowed in. People in the north part of the county, where half the citizens live, can't get to the south part of county where they have to do business. So frequently you'll have, during the winter months, you're separated from your case. Lawyers, litigants cannot get to where they have to conduct business either in family court, juvenile court, or in the criminal courts. In addition to the size and geographic challenges, we talk about the budget. They are suffering the same budget strangulation that the other county courts are suffering. Since 2007, there's been a 28% decrease in staffing due to budget shortages. Many court reporters were let go or laid off. The court could not rehire 9 of 15 commissioners. Shortened clerk hours and furloughs have yielded intolerably long lines and delayed justice. All these cuts are in addition to San Bernardino's being one of the historically most underfunded and under-resourced courts in California. Now, in 2008, and this is what the San Bernardino looked like. You see the mountains there in the back, in the south. And you can see kind of the distribution of courthouses that was used to kind of provide access and justice to the 2.1 million citizens there. But because of the shrinking budgets that we all suffered, and San Bernardino, again, being historically under-resourced in addition, they had to shutter courthouses in Redlands, in Chino, Needles, Twin Peaks, and the juvenile traffic programs in truancy were shuttered as well, which also has, you know, the truancy program is very successful for them. That also had to be discontinued. Courtrooms were closed in Joshua Tree and in Barstow, leaving this map, for those of you who can't see the graphic, this is what's left of a once proud court system in San Bernardino. As you can see, and sadly, we've come to a point where San Bernardino's communities have restricted access to justice. It is a credit, I will say, to Judge Slough and her staff that they went around to council meetings and community groups, chambers of commerce in affected areas to explain the courthouse and courtroom closures before proceeding with them. However, while appreciative of being told what was about to happen to their communities, it made it no easier. Of course, these budget cuts, coupled with San Bernardino's sheer size and these court closures, have over the last 7 years meant disenfranchisement of a sizable number of Californians. Thousands of Californians are no longer able to participate in jury duty. And what's worse, they're not expected anymore to participate in jury duty. They simply can't get to the courthouses to participate. Misdemeanants in distant areas, rather than now dispute their cases, simply plead guilty, because it's not feasible for them to go over 200 miles to where their case is being heard, sometimes on public transportation, which requires more than 4 hours on a bus or to get there. This state of affairs clearly undermines notions of fairness and justice. In addition to its size, geography, these budget cuts, and closure of these buildings and courtrooms, San Bernardino, as I said, has been one of the most... It's like I'm not... Am I? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Right, thank you.
Not a word.
Rosenberg, I mean it. No Hanukkah gift for you. Oh. All right. Coal on your menorah. All right. Back to the sobering news here. In addition, as I told you, San Bernardino has always been one of the most under-resourced courts, so obviously these reductions have a huge impact on them. Judges report to me, for instance, they have the fourth largest workload in the state, but they're only the eighth or ninth largest court in terms of judicial officers and staff. They've had to cut $23 million out of a $110 million budget. The court is authorized to have 93 judges. It currently has 78, which, by the way, is one-half the judicial-weighted caseload need of 156 judges. San Bernardino's court needs over 1,500 staff to function properly. It has less than 900. San Bernardino's historic underfunding will, under the new WAFA methodology, be relieved to some extent. However, the pressure from historic and foreseeable monetary staff under-resourcing is burning out the judicial officers and support personnel. Their court remains desperate for new judgeships so they can provide something other than what feels to them like assembly line justice. Let me end this presentation by saying that for all of these challenges, I found this to be a very collegial and hardworking court. Madam Chief, they're an asset to the branch. And that concludes my presentation. And I think, Justice Miller, that was about 5 minutes.
Perfect.
Thank you. Before we move on to public comment, I want to say several things. First, I
thank the Judicial Council members, because this really is a working council, as you can see. I made light of the binders earlier, but we know the binders really are a composite of all the 400-plus people who volunteer their expertise in service to a better policy for California statewide. And those binders are put together by Judicial Council staff, supported by staff, so that we have all the materials available to make a reasoned and deliberative decision. And when I hear the liaison reports, I am profoundly struck by how hardworking our courts are, how different we are, how there is CLUSA that is regal in its tradition, and its relationships are warm and strong and familial. And then we talk about San Bernardino and its geographical distance, but yet its unity of leadership on the bench, and it's what I have observed in its bar association as well. In addition to San Diego's challenges, but are symbolic in some ways of that 65-foot pit that will be rising up into something magnificent in 2016. I mean, there's a lot to be said here about how different we are, but yet how united all of us are in our efforts to serve the public. And our differences should be embraced and honored and respected. And every day when I think about these liaison reports, I'm proud of the work that this branch does, notwithstanding all of the reductions and difficulties it's facing and the people who make this. We are truly a person-made branch.